Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us here at Talking Up Music Education. And I'm online here with a very special guest, very inspired member of our NAMM community, Chris Martin, President and CEO of Martin Guitar. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Mary. I'm here in Nazareth at the factory. You were here, last summer with the guitar workshop, weren't you?
Absolutely. I know kind of right where you're sitting in the environment. Tell us a little bit about your surroundings there in Nazareth. And, you are at where these remarkable guitars are made. So tell us what's happening today at Martin Guitar.
Well, it's summer. And in the summer, we never know how many people are going to visit because school's still out and people are on vacation. So if you were to go down to the lobby between, say, now and 2 o'clock, it's quite possible there's 50 or 100 people down there who've come from all over the country and possibly all over the world to take a tour of the Martin Guitar Factory. And in fact, I'd like to invite all of our listeners that if they're ever in the neighborhood, stop by and we'll give you a tour.
It's really a remarkable experience. You have a museum there filled with collections from over the years, the history of Martin Guitar. I mean, I've seen people visit the museum and literally stand in front of exhibit. It feels like for an hour just looking because these instruments are so beloved by people everywhere. And plus you have some of your own fun stuff there, I think, too, Chris, right?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a collector and a pack rat. But I like to say when I get to what's called my room, is I say to the people I'm talking with, I'm giving them the tour of the museum, we get to my room and I say, I look around and they look at all the stuff. And I say to them, my wife is so happy that this stuff is no longer at home.
Yeah, I bet it's going to inspire a lot of couples maybe to create an adjunct to a home where they could put their stuff.
Well, here's a funny story, Mary. I'm going to digress a little bit. I was in a CEO group called Vistage, somewhat similar to the group that Joe belongs to, YPO. And we always get a good speaker. And the speaker went around the room. And I know what it was. We had the meeting here. Each member would sponsor the meeting. And so I gave everyone a tour of the museum and the factory tour. And afterwards, the facilitator said to the rest of the CEOs, well, what did you learn today about being here at the Martin Guitar Company? And the one gentleman said, I think I need to open a museum.
That's great. That's great. Well, maybe there's a few more CEO or company museums out there because of that. So, Chris, the reason that I was so eager to have you on our podcast was because you've just completed a 2-year term as the very first chair of the NAMM Foundation, and you moved into the role of the chair of NAMM, which is kind of the parent organization. So we want to talk about the NAMM Foundation, and this was the very first chairmanship of a brand new board. So the question to you is, as the founding chair of the NAMM Foundation board, what were your priorities for this new position and the new board of directors that you helped to launch?
Well, fortunately, having been on the NAMM big board and then more recently going through the journey, as executive ex-com secretary and then treasurer, and then, as this worked out, now the vice chair of NAMM will simultaneously be the chairman of the NAMM Foundation. I was, as you said, the first one to be given that opportunity. And I spent some time with a friend of mine, Roland Kushner, who's a professor at Muhlenberg College. And Roland actually teaches classes in philanthropy. And I said, Roland, I'll buy you a beer if I can pick your brain a little bit. And so I told him what was happening and what the situation was. And he said, Chris, what you want to do is you want to build a foundation, no pun intended, upon which future chairpersons can then build the structure of how this thing will work. So I'd like to think that if nothing else, and with the help of you, of course, and Joe and Jane and the other board members, Bernie, Tom, and Chuck, that we did that, that we've got a good foundation set so that when now that Joel is the incoming chair of the foundation, he doesn't have to start at ground zero.
Chris, so in your role then, in this first 2 years, you really did establish some procedures for the foundation. You know, we have a yearly calendar when we meet, we pass some policies, and I felt we engaged a consultant. We've referred to Jane Poulin, who helped throughout the year. Joel Menchie has moved into the vice chair role, and now he's the second chairman of the NAMP Foundation. So I would say, yes, your goal of creating a foundation for the foundation was certainly achieved. And I also think we got closer to the real work of the foundation. Would you agree?
Yes. You know, I watched you, I've listened to you in the big board meetings. You would tell all of us, all the members there, how you actually would select these organizations that you thought were worthy of NAM's money. And what I really appreciate is you're rigorous. First of all, you want to make sure it helps our mission. And then I know you get to a point where you say to the organizations, okay, we've helped you move your organization along. Now you have to learn to fly a little bit more on your own so that they don't think that this is necessarily an annuity that's guaranteed.
That's right. I mean, and to that end, through the NAMP Foundation, we've established the Nonprofit Management Institute that happens at the NAMP show, and over 100 nonprofit music service organizations are assembling there to learn about governance, program improvement, you know, because again, we see from a market development perspective, our core mission to create more music makers. If these music service organizations, the ones we fund and also the ones that we're not able to fund directly, if they're strong, you know, they're thriving, we're going to create more music makers. So we're really grateful for everything that you've done, Chris. Again, always a steady hand, even opening the opening minutes of our podcast. You know, you referred to all the people that you went to, do you turn to for help, and how they've inspired you. Again, this is just kind of your style, Chris Martin. I really am grateful for it.
The only thing I wish is that instead of me having done this, that one of my ancestors did. But quite a few years ago now, we set up a private foundation here at the Martin Guitar Company. And so I'm familiar with, hey, you need to give money to a 501c3 and you need to hold them accountable. So it wasn't all new to me, but it's the type of foundation NAM has is different than a private foundation. And so that's been a bit of a learning experience for me.
Yeah. And this, you know, your spirit of always learning and always seeking out that advice has been so inspiring to all of us. So let's jump into some of the things that, in addition to establishing the helping the foundation have some firm footing, you also were, you know, really remarkable during your term in ramping up the new resources for the NAM Foundation, knowing that we will always be tied to NAM, and the NAM enterprise really is the means by which we have the resources in the NAM Foundation to do our research funding, our grant funding, and also, you know, acknowledging that the NAM enterprise is every NAM member. You exhibit at the NAM show, all the neighbors you have at the NAM show. Tell us how the NAM and NAM Foundation align.
Well, we have a common goal, like you said, more to start, fewer to quit. Who can argue with that? You know, and you know where we really see it, Mary, you know this, when we go down to Washington to talk to our representatives about making sure that they are helping to get music in the schools. And no one ever argues with us about the idea of making music. And I have to believe that when you go to Washington once in a while, you have a controversial topic that some people want to argue with. And so we have a great story. But we can't take it for granted. We can't assume that just because people have always made music that they always will. We have to, this is what we do for a living. Why shouldn't we reinvest in it?
Yeah, and be the primary champions for it. You're absolutely right. You know, and NAM and working with the NAM Foundation together, we're sort of pushing that forward, both through our direct lobbying. And I'm so grateful for all the time you've spent. I loved your term in a recent post. It said, I drag you to Washington once a year. You're darn right I do. And I'm going to keep doing that. So thank you for that.
I should get one of those apps that, you know, shows you how many miles you walked that day that we walked the halls of Congress.
Yeah, well, we need to use scooters. So let's talk about what you personally were committed to at the NAM Foundation. I mean, during your time you helped us establish some of these funds. The Bill Collins Fund that specifically moves guitar education forward, which you also hosted a guitar teaching guitar workshop at Martin again this summer. You were involved just recently in celebrating the retirement of our chief financial officer, Larry Manley, just most recently. And then you and your lovely wife, Diane, helped us with the swim fund. But at the end of the day, you and the Martin Foundation and the Martin Guitar Company have been the most generous donor to the NAMM Foundation to date. There's just no doubt about it. And, you know, I get the question is, why is that important to you? And why did you feel motivated to bring these precious resources forward to help with this, with our mission?
You know, Mary, I never imagined when I took over 46 years ago, I joined the company. So let's say it's been 35 or so years since I've been chairman and CEO. I joined the business when the guitar business was really It hit the rocks, to be honest with you. You know, my dad caught the folk boom and then the folk rock boom. And then that petered out. Thank you, disco and Yamaha DX7. And so when I joined the company, we were basically on the verge of bankruptcy. And I never, honestly, in my wildest imagination, would have thought that the business would have come this far. And along the way, I've been very fortunate to be able to share profits with my coworkers. And I just felt that it was time for me personally to begin to give back. And there are things that are near and dear to me, Outward Bound. I'm very supportive of Outward Bound. And certainly, you know, one of the things that's most near and dear to me because it's helped me get where I am is NAMM and what NAMM does, particularly through the foundation. And I thought, okay, now I'm the first chairperson. You know, I've read some books on, you know, being the chairperson of nonprofits, and the chairperson should take a lead. The chairperson should show by their actions what everyone else should consider doing. So I thought it was very appropriate for me. And, you know, I've been very supportive of the museum, but now with the foundation being separate, I thought, if not now, when? And I am hoping that you will someday be doing this exact same thing with a donor who has given more than I have. So that's my ultimate goal, is to raise the bar. Let's keep raising that bar and getting more people. I'm not the only one in this industry that has the ability and the wherewithal to do this. We just have to convince them to write a check.
And inspire them. You know, I mean, I always felt that as a foundation, as a service organization, as a change the world organization, people have to feel the depth of our seriousness and the impact of our funded programs. And you know, I think that we're so grateful. I mean, that's also part of the foundation, that you were leaving the foundation as you left the chairmanship of the NAMM Foundation. You really, as you said, you walk the talk of a chair, you walk the talk of a leader. You believed in it, right? I mean, at the end of the day, and you believe that we could execute well. I think that's our responsibility to a donor, that we're accountable and we execute well.
Joe and I have talked about this. And what Joe said, he said, you know, Chris, this is new territory for me also, because I'm not used to asking for money. And what Joe realized, and it's like, you know, Joe, you're right. He said, when you're going to ask someone for money, you really need to get a little more granular than, hey, wouldn't you like to give money to the NAMM Foundation? Because they're going to go, well, look, the NAMM Foundation's already well-funded. So you have to say, well, what part of NAMM really intrigues you? And of course, for me, it was guitars. And so when, you know, my friend, and, you know, God bless Bill Collins, what a character, a character's character. When he passed away, he was one of the first. Now, Larry Seifel, who was a, you know, master inlay artist, predeceased him. But Bill was one of the first of that kind of, those bunch of luthiers my age who passed away. And I thought, why not honor Bill and the good work he did in making fantastic guitars? And it resonated with me. So we need to find more particular reasons to motivate donors rather than, hey, would you give to the NAMM Foundation?
Yeah, telling our story and guiding our donor into a place, into a program that would be meaningful to them. And then again, you know, I'm a strong believer, really, you know, kind of fanatically committed to donor stewardship and donor connections. That we need to be sure that they feel that we're the best investment they can make.
Yeah. And the other thing I learned is some more often than not, you have to ask more than once. You talk about Larry Manley, and I thought, okay, Larry really helped, really intrigues you, of course, bring this organization to where it is over many years of service at NAMM and rightfully retired. And, you know, in talking to Larry before and during his retirement, he's still actively involved, giving back, working in his local community. And I thought, so everybody knows Larry, everyone on the board, everyone at NAMM. And so I approached a couple of people and they were like, yeah, Chris, that's a good idea. And then I asked you and you said, no, I haven't heard anything. So I went back to some of them and they said, well, I didn't really know what to do. I was waiting for someone to ask me. And I said to them, I asked you. Oh, yeah, you did. So you have to ask more than once. We really have to lead them to the trough and say, there's the water. Go on the NAMM website. Go on the foundation website. Pull out your credit card. It isn't that hard.
You know, there's a million, I would say, nonprofit executives that are just like weeping with joy that you are actually speaking this way, because this is the work, the genuine work of getting organizations the support they need, right?
Yeah. And you have to be delicate. You know, you don't want to overreach, but you don't want to underreach. And the last thing we want is for someone to say, I guess I don't have to do anything. No, you really need to do something. And maybe you're not in a position to give $5,000. Can you give $250? Oh, yeah, I could do that. Okay, there we go. We've got a win here.
Yeah, you know, we talked about if everyone was at the NAMM show, there's 115,000 people at the NAMM show. And if everyone was at the NAMM show, gave $10.
Holy mackerel. Yeah.
Where would we be?
Well, so what we'll do this winter NAMM, you and I will stand, we'll have just one entrance. Go on the NAMM website, we'll stand there. And after they show their badge and their ID, we'll say, would you give $10 to the NAMM Foundation? We'll see how we make out.
So you and I, okay, you're the chairman of NAMM now. So yeah, people have to, you know, you can't get in unless you go past Chris.
That's right.
And I'll have the big barrel. So now you're moving into, you're it now. You're the chairman. You're the chair of NAMM. Those of you that see the Music Trades, one of our Music Trade publications, I just got it. I picked it up just as I was walking to the computer. And there you are on the cover with your interview as the chairman of NAMM. But if you go on the inside, you're holding one of these remarkable inlay guitars that has all this watchwork on it. Was that guitar ever purchased by someone, or is that in your collection?
What that guitar is, that's the 2 millionth Martin.
Ah, okay.
In honor of that, we took, I think it was the next 50 serial numbers. So 2,000,001, 2,000,002, 2,000,003. And we said, we're going to allocate these serial numbers to a not quite as ornate version of the 2,000,000th guitar. And if you buy that one of those guitars, you also get a watch made by Roland Murphy, who's a Swiss-trained watchmaker in Lancaster County that we partnered with. And just the other day, one of my colleagues and one of our dealers delivered number 16 out of 50 to a rabid Martin fan. So there's a couple left.
Wow. What do you hope to achieve this year in your role at NAMM now? For 2 years, you'll be chair of NAMM.
So let me tell you what, particularly at the show, particularly at the winter show, what my life was like between being outside of the convention center and being in my booth, where I love to be. I love to be in the booth at the show, talking to dealers and consumers and distributors and fans and celebrities and whatever. That before I was on NAMM XCOM, I kind of walked that journey between getting through security to the booth with blinders on. And once I joined XCOM, I said, maybe I should look to my right and my left as I walk around to see what everyone else is doing, to see what people who aren't necessarily in my tribe are doing. And it's really been an eye-opener for me to see how much passion there is for things that, Mary, I'm not even sure what some of the things do that people are pitching at the NAMM show. But they are as passionate about that thing as I am about guitars, and that's really cool. I'm going to try and you know, bottle up that passion and shake it up and just make it even more of this thing that we all love.
Yeah, it's wonderful, Chris. We are such a unique community. When you're at the NAMM show, even at the fly-in, at a board meeting, you know, professionals that have devoted their careers to music be it making a product, making a technology, innovating, you know, from a traditional folk harp to a 2 millionth inlaid guitar. I mean, the artisans in our community always just blow me away.
I know it's not seamless, but what is really cool is how digitization, you know, we live in a digital world, has actually enhanced some very traditional products. So you've got traditional products that have become more modern thanks to digital technology. And then you've got purely digital stuff that allows people to record music with a lot less investment than ever. And I think that attracts people to what we do. It's like, you mean I can buy an instrument and make my own recording and I don't have to spend $50,000? No. Maybe you did back in the 70s, but not anymore.
And you can be 12 years old and you can be writing beats, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's really exciting. Well, your passion for all this is infectious, Chris, and your role in the industry is also really, really important to all of us. And your leadership has been, you know, incredibly important to me as the executive director of the NAMM Foundation, trying to make sure that the trains run on time. I always felt that you had a deep understanding of that work, you know, of running, keeping the trains run on time. And at the same time, being able to look out over the treetops and knowing that we've got really inspired, important work to do for our members, but for the world, right? I mean, we want music to be, you know, I think it's going to be one of the reasons that we really move through difficult times. We have, you know, since the beginning of humanity.
My first official trip as NAMM chair is to go to the trade show in Shanghai, Music China, as NAMM's chairman. And we have to thank Richard Nixon for opening up that door that would allow the East and the West to get together. Have you been to the Shanghai show?
Several times. And actually, we also forged, starting in the aughts, 2006, a really strong and remarkable partnership with the music education sector there in China.
Yep, they're hungry. Because I think, you know, they have their traditional music and their traditional instruments, but for way too long, China was insulated. And now that that wall has come down, they are really, they're catching up fast. And I'm catching up in a good way.
And there's a desire there. I know our sector, the music education sector, there's such a strong desire for best practice connectivity. You know, how do we serve children regardless of, you know, their learning, their development? So there's, it's just been, I'm thrilled that, well, you've gone many times for Martin, but in this role, it'll be a great time for you. So Chris, as we wrap up, if you had one word or one phrase or one sentence to say to our vast listenership out there, which is pretty vast, actually, how should they get involved with the NAMM Foundation and why should they join you in helping the NAMM Foundation?
Well, let's start with, go to the NAMM Foundation website, cruise around a little bit, get a sense of what we're doing, what you're doing, what your team's doing, and then don't forget to go down to the button that says, I want to give, and give.
At any amount, right?
Any amount. We'll take it. Yep.
And be part of the NAMM Foundation. So that's wonderful. Well, what a fun way to spend on a Thursday here. I'm in New York and you're in Pennsylvania, to chat with you, Chris, and to share it with our listeners here talking at Music Education. Any final thoughts for folks as they're thinking about music for the remainder of the summer?
One of the things that I find remarkable, because we keep saying this is going to end soon, is the unbelievable resurgence in the ukulele. And so if you want to make music and you're not sure where to begin, go get yourself a ukulele and have some fun.
That's a great send-off for a beautiful East Coast day. Thank you so much, Chris Martin, for joining us here at Talking at Music Education. You can find us at namfoundation.org. As Chris said, go to the donate button. We'd love to have you be a part of us. And thank you for joining me here at Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Nam. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.